Hi, it's me again, Ray, with another podcast episode. A lot of people have said to me, what did you do after school? We've heard about what you did at school in the 50s and early 60s. What did you get up to after school? Because there was no television, no computers, no mobile phones, no social media. What on earth did you do? We were let out of school about, what, 3:30, 3:45, something like that. First thing I did when I got home, school uniform off, chuck that all over the bedroom floor, old clothes on, in the kitchen. Mum's got a jam sandwich waiting for me and a glass of orange juice. Of course, in those days, mums didn't go to work. Well, very few mums went to work. So she was at home baking, preparing dinner, doing the washing. I know people won't like this, but that's when women were housewives and they didn't have careers. They didn't go to work. It's probably difficult for young women listening to this to comprehend that, you know, not going to work. The housework took a long time. The 50s, most people didn't have a washing machine or even a fridge. You know, milk was kept in a bucket of water somewhere outside the back door in the winter or in the summer, perhaps in a cool place in the pantry or the larder. The mums spent the day doing the cooking, preparing for the evening meal, washing, ironing, housework. In fact, my mum did most of the decorating in the house where we lived, because obviously my dad was out at work all day. And it's very different now, of course, but that's just the way it was back then. So I'd have my jam sandwich and my glass of orange juice. Don't worry about things like homework, didn't bother with that. And then rush over to the woods, which were, what, 1/4 mile away from me. Rush over to the woods. There'd be a few other kids from the school there, some mates, and I was going to say, mess about in the woods. We did mess about, but we were learning. For example, there was a big pond in the woods near me, and we would look in there at newts, sticklebacks, tadpoles, toads, frogs. We were learning all the time. We thought we were messing about, but we were learning. For example, the difference between toads and frogs, how to tell the difference between toad spawn and frog spawn. All this sort of stuff. You might think, well, what's the point in all that? There was also a farm there. I'll come to that in a minute. You've probably heard the, I don't know whether it's a joke or whether it's actually reality, where kids are asked today, where do chickens come from? Oh, they come from Sainsbury's. Where's bacon come from? Sainsbury's. Now, for those of you outside the UK, Sainsbury's is a big supermarket. And this is where kids think that this stuff comes from. Well, it does come from there, but where does it come from originally? It comes from farms and places like that, and they don't know that. So although we were messing around, we learned a lot. I remember there were some ducks walking along this path, and we were just following the ducks. And one of them stopped, and I just watched it, and it laid an egg, a sort of turquoise colour, huge egg. So the duck laid this egg, wandered off, and I went and picked it up, and it was all soft and warm. Now, I didn't realise that eggs were soft when they first came out. So that was something else I learned. I also learned I don't like duck's eggs. I took it home. My mother cooked it for me and I didn't like it. One thing that was interesting, we were, what, 10, 11, 12 years old, something like that. And a lot of girls used to hang around with us, in the parks, in the woods, out in the street. They were climbing trees. You know, we grazed our knees and so did they. Cuts and bruises. You know, it was fantastic. They used to go scrumping with us, climbing over the wall, getting shouted at. I ought to pay tribute to the girls in those days, because someone once said to me that the girls then were the last of the free generation. I don't know whether, were they the last of the free generation? I don't know. Mum would say to us, right, no school today, or that's the end of school, go outside and play, get back by tea time. And it didn't matter whether it was raining, snowing, whatever, you know, you put your gear on and off you'd go. And as I say, girls were always knocking around with us, and some of them had skirts, but a majority of them had jeans. I don't think they were tomboys. You've probably heard the expression tomboy. It's not that they were tomboys, they were just kids like us. And that, I think that actually helped me as I got into my teens, mid-teens, late teens, because I looked upon girls as mates, as friends, not kind of sexual objects as some of my friends did. I remember a chap, I went out for a drink with a couple of girls that I'd known from school, and I don't know what I was, 18, we went out for a drink. I met them in this pub, and we spent the evening, just the three of us having a chat, and we were mates. And a friend of mine at the bar, he said, you know, you're going out with two birds? I said, no, I'm not going out with either of them. I said, we're just friends. He said, what do you mean, just friends? He couldn't understand it. You know, we were just friends. And that had come from my days, you know, as a kid, over the woods, in the parks, and all that sort of thing. And I think that was a good grounding, actually, a good introduction to girls. You know, they're not just sexual objects. You know, they are people. I remember the farm over the back of us. This is only a quarter of a mile away from where I lived, this farm over the back of us. I got to know the farmer. We all did. He didn't mind us kids mucking about. He used to say, you know, be careful, don't climb on the machinery, don't walk through the cornfield, you know, and trample all my corn. But he told us about field mice that came out of the cornfield, rabbits. He said, look out for rabbits. You know, he told us things about the countryside, which was nice. I remember once there were about six of us, you know, boys and girls, about six of us. And he came along in his tractor down this sort of track, this lane. And he had a trailer on the back, and he stopped. He said, who wants a lift? Yeah, we all clambered onto the trailer and had a great ride down this bumpy old lane. And one girl fell out as he stopped. She was climbing down. She fell out, bashed her head. Oh, that was all right. There were no tears, been a bit of blood. And we thought that was cool. You know, oh, look, she's cut her head. That was excellent. She was proud because there's blood. And you know, the farmer was really great. He taught us a lot, actually. And he always welcomed us. I think people... Am I wrong? Have I got some sort of false memory? I think people were more friendly then. I'm sure people were far more friendly in those days. Well, that farmer certainly was. And other people... I remember going into the chemist shop. They were called chemists then. I don't know why they're pharmacies now. I got a big splinter in my hand. I went in a chemist shop. And this lady, I remember she said, yes, dear. I said, look, I got this splinter. Oh, hang on a minute. She went and got tweezers, sat me down, pulled it out and put some Dettol on it or something that it really did sting like hell. You know, she said, look, I'm going to put a plaster on it, which she did. And that was great. Off I went. You know, I'd been patched up by the lady in the chemist shop, and that was great. Everyone was friendly. I don't know. I'm not saying that people are unfriendly now. It's just that then people seemed far more friendly. Another thing we did after school, of course, the obvious thing is we went scrumping. Now, for those of you who don't know what scrumping is, it's sneaking into people's orchards and eating their apples and pears. there was one not far from us, and us lot, girls as well, again, it was always the boys and the girls, clambering over this brick wall. It was about 6 or 7 feet high, this wall. Clamber over there, scraping our knees, ripping our jeans. And this chap in the orchard, he, oi, you lot, get out of it. Of course, we're pinching his apples and his pears. I don't know what we did with them because we didn't take bags or anything. I remember stuffing them in my pockets. But I don't think we could have taken that many. And someone once said, some kid nearby, he said, he goes out up past four every day. Probably went shopping. I don't know where he went. So the next day we're over there, up past four. Sure enough, he got in his old car. It was an old Wolseley. He got in his old car, drove off. So, of course, we're over the wall and we're having a right old time in his orchard. Well, it wasn't a huge orchard. There's, you know, I don't know, a couple of dozen pear trees, a couple of dozen apple trees. And it was great. I mean, I don't think it was so much that we were taking his apples and pears. That wasn't the point. The point was we were in his orchard and we shouldn't have been. That's where the fun was. I mean, yeah, we'd have an apple and a pear to eat and perhaps put some in our pockets. But the fun was being somewhere where we shouldn't be. We had two or three parks near us, recreation grounds, where there were play areas, there were swings, roundabouts, seesaws and all this sort of stuff. All health and safety these days would have had a fit. There's these kind of merry-go-round things that were lethal. And you got all us kids hanging off this thing, flying round and round. Yeah, we'd run round and round to get it really moving, then leap aboard, holding on to the metal bars for dear life. And this thing was flying round, and the centre post, it's as it's swinging so much, it's hitting the centre post. I think they were called merry-go-rounds, I can't remember. And of course, there's all these kids hanging off it, and they're like legs sticking out. They're holding on, and their bodies are sort of horizontal as this thing is flying round. You know, one or two of us came off. I think all of us did at some stage. And again, cuts, bruises, ripped clothes. It was just a great time. It was a fantastic time. And on the swings, of course, who could go the highest? I mean, I remember swinging so high that as you get right up to the top, the chains that the swing was on, the chains go loose. And you're kind of in midair. And, oh, I don't know. Then it would come down again and the chains would clonk. And also jumping off. Who can jump off when the swing is at the highest? So you go really, really high. And then as you go forwards, up in the air, you then jump off. And you're probably jumping down about, what, I don't know, 15 feet or more. Never any broken bones, so I don't know how we all escaped serious injury. Was one friend of mine, he broke his arm. He borrowed my bike. We were over the woods, he borrowed my bike, fell off because he wasn't used to it, and broke his arm. So, he did have a few tears. We were about 10 years old. And we got back to his house, I went back with him, and his mother said, "What have you done?" He said, "I've broke my arm." "Oh, God," she said, "oh, well, here we go, right, hospital." Of course, at that stage, he was also laughing. He was in great pain, but he was also laughing. You know, we weren't, what's the term these days? Snowflakes. You know, we weren't snowflakes. You know, we were growing up. We were rugged. We were robust kids. There were also climbing frames, like tubular, you know, metal tubular frames that went up ever so high. 15, even more, I think 20 feet we found one. Must have been 20 feet up. And you got all these kids climbing higher and higher, standing on the top. You know, no safety at all. As I say, health and safety these days, they saw all that, would have an absolute fit. I was surprised that there weren't serious injuries, you know, because we did fall off. We did bash our heads on the bars as we came down. Another thing that I remember very much, as I got a little bit older, as we were sort of 13, 14, something like that, you know, we didn't go on the kids' swings and climbing frames, but we go to the chip shop and we'd share our money. You know, if someone didn't have enough money, and we'd get, what was it, a tanner's worth of chips. A tanner was sixpence. And there'd be a crowd of us, perhaps six, seven, eight of us. We'd go over to the chip shop, buy a load of chips. It was only chips we bought, nothing else. Didn't want fish and all that. We'd buy all these chips and then go over the woods, which was opposite the chip shop. If anyone knows the area, it was Limbrick Corner and Limbrick Copse, just outside Worthing, Limbrick. We'd go over the woods with our chips and we'd all sit over there. And of course, you know, by that sort of age, 14-ish, we're having a cigarette and choking as well, because we couldn't do it properly. We're all choking and coughing and spluttering. But yeah, we thought we looked good in front of each other having these cigarettes. It's funny how, as I've got older, you know, kids, grandchildren, they say, you know, "What did you do when you were young? What did you do? You didn't have a television and you didn't have computers. You didn't have this. You didn't have a phone. You didn't have that." Do you know, we were never bored, never, ever bored. The train station wasn't far from us and we'd go over there. There were steam engines then, of course. We'd go over there. You could buy a platform ticket, which was a penny, I think, that allowed you to go on the station, on the platform. It was all fields, so we didn't bother to go and spend money on a ticket. We just went along by the fields and sat there. And there were stiles that you could go over and actually cross the line. So, you know, you could actually get on the line itself. So we'd sit by the track and you'd see these huge steam engines come flying along. And, you know, they'd see us and they'd whistle and the driver would wave. So I said earlier, everyone was friendly. The drivers would always wave. I don't know whether they do on the electric trains now. They probably do. I remember one driver, as he went past, he said, "Sit back a bit." We couldn't hear what he was saying. "Sit back a bit." "You know what? Sit back where?" He was telling us to get back away from the track, because I suppose we were a little bit too close. But in those days, you know, you could do all that. There was no trouble, no problems. I don't ever remember hearing any accidents with trains and kids. There were loads of us kids in and around my hometown. We were like ants. You know, there were hundreds of us when school was out. There were like ants just teeming all along the pavements. And later in the day, of course, when we'd all been home and changed and had our jam sandwiches, oh, kids piling over the park, over the shops, over to see the trains, into the woods, mucking about, falling in the pond, climbing trees, falling out of the trees. Absolutely brilliant. You know, bored. No, we were never bored. In fact, there wasn't enough time in the day. Summer holidays were absolutely brilliant. We had 6 weeks off school. I remember all singing the song. What was it? "One more day to go, one more day of sorrow, one more day in this old dump, and we'll be home tomorrow." Singing that. And then, of course, that's it. You get home on that afternoon and the school holiday starts. 6 weeks. It was just bliss. I know people say, oh, you don't remember things properly from the old days, but it seemed that the summer times then were hot. It didn't rain, but I'm sure it did. But you don't remember the rain, you just remember the long, hot summers. And the winters were proper winters. Proper snow and cold and ice. None of this sort of namby-pamby weather where you're not quite sure whether it's autumn, spring, summer, winter. They all seem to merge into one these days. Of course, in the winters, back in the school days, that didn't make any difference. It didn't stop kids going out. Where over the park or the woods were building snowmen, having snowball fights. I remember the pond froze over once over the woods, and we're sort of tentatively putting our foot on it just to see, will that ice crack? And this chap said, oh no, that'll be all right. And he started to walk out. Of course, he went only up to his knees, straight through the ice, up to his knees. He said, I'm freezing. And of course, we're all laughing our heads off. This poor chap, he said, I better go home. Absolutely freezing. But again, there were never any serious accidents. Well, not that I remember, apart from the lad that broke his arm. So whether it was winter, summer, spring, autumn, didn't make any difference. We were over the woods. I remember seeing once in the woods, this was in the summer, spring, summer, I was over there and I saw this tiny little bird. I thought it was a big butterfly or something initially. There was this old flint wall covered in ivy and growth and stuff. And this little bird went straight into it. And I went over to see, I thought he'd hurt himself. I thought, where's he gone? I had a look and there was a tiny nest made out of moss. It looked like moss, a round ball with a little hole in the front. So anyway, the bird came out. He, you know, I was a bit close for comfort. He came out and flew away. And I looked in there and there were some eggs, tiny little eggs in there. We didn't ever pinch eggs. We always left them where they were. Some of the older boys used to, but we didn't ever take eggs. And that night, I remember looking through my encyclopedias because he didn't have the internet. So we had encyclopedias. I remember we had a whole set of encyclopedias. They were all red. And I think they were called The World of the Children. And I looked up in there for birds and nests, and I discovered that it was a wren, a little wren's nest. And I kept an eye on it throughout the, I don't know, following weeks. And there were little chicks in there, and they're all sort of squawking away and stuff. And I didn't ever poke it around or go too near, but just have a quick look. And of course, the day came when they all left the nest, they all flew off. And that was interesting. So again, I was learning. You know, we weren't just messing around in the woods. I was learning. I saw a chap. He had an axe. And it looked like he was chopping a tree down. We went over to him and we said, why are you chopping that tree down? He said, I'm not. He said, you see this ivy growing up the side? He said, that'll kill the tree eventually. And he said, what I do is I come over here every now and then. He lived over near us somewhere. He said, I come over here every now and then with my axe and I just chop through the ivy around the base of each tree. The ivy dies and the tree will survive. So again, we were learning things. When we got to sort of, 14, 15, then there were things that there was a local youth club, which was absolutely useless. There was a boys club, which was a total waste of time. The youth club, where there were girls as well, that wasn't too bad. They had, someone took a record player in and they'd sell orange juice and crisps and Pepsi Cola. And that was a pretty much a waste of time. We didn't go there that often. We preferred to go over to the park and sit in the park with the girls. And of course, by that age, we were beginning to look at the girls in a different light. Although I said we always remained friends and the girls were one of us, we were looking at them in a different light, a completely different light. So we, again, it was learning. We were, you know, perhaps going out with the odd girl, perhaps sneaking off on our own somewhere, perhaps over to the farm on a summer's evening, sit in the cornfield where we weren't allowed to be, and we learnt things then about each other, which I won't go into. But obviously at that age we were still at school, so we were still learning and we were still having fun, although the fun was changing. Having said that, we still, even at 14, 15 years old, you know, we still used to go over and watch the train, sit by the track, have a cigarette. Because again, yeah, we thought that was a big thing to do. I think I started smoking when I was 15 when I started. That was a mistake. I smoked for 42 years. I've given it up now. I gave it up years ago, but 42 years of pretty heavy smoking. All started really by sitting by the railway line with my friends, watching the steam engines go by, having a cigarette because I thought it looked big. So if there's any youngsters listening, take a tip from me. It's not big. Making yourself ill and getting cancer is not clever at all. I was very lucky, but I do know one or two people that did die. They got cancer in the end, lung cancer. I was lucky. I didn't even get, what is it, emphysema? I got away really lightly. They reckon I've got COPD, which is some lung thing. But, you know, I don't cough, I don't splutter, I don't get out of breath. I got away with that very, very lightly. So that's it, really. They were the after-school days. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, when people say, oh, we used to climb trees, all kids do these days, is sit in front of screens. Well, we didn't just climb trees. As I say, there was the woods, there was the park, there was the countryside. We got the South Downs behind us. So there was a chalk pit there. We'd often go over to the chalk pit. That was about half a mile away from where I lived. Climb up the chalk face, fall down, get cut, get bruised. Girls as well, they'd come over, they'd climb up the chalk face. We found a sort of cave in the chalk face. And yeah, we'd all sit in there in the cave if it was raining. It wasn't a very deep cave, but it was enough to get in there and shelter from the rain. So, of course, our clothes were covered in white chalk, and get back, and my mother would say, I know where you've been. As the years went by, I'd get home covered in grass stains. My mother didn't say, I know where you've been, although I suspect she did have an idea of what was going on. So they were happy days, really happy days. I don't know about kids these days. As I've said, they all seem to be sitting in front of screens or on their phones, but I'm sure that lots of them have activities. I know that my grandchildren, for example, they go swimming, they go climbing, they, was it ape something or other in the woods, they hang off ropes and zip wires. They're always doing things. Yes, they've got their phones and their iPads as well, but they are physically very active, always out doing something, which is good. The beach was only about a mile away from my house, but I didn't like the beach much. I preferred the country. Used to go down there sometimes, have a sort of muck about in the sea, you know, take our trunks down and stuff. But I don't know, it wasn't my thing, the beach. It was too hot in the summer, too many people crowding down there. Whereas the woods, it was just us kids and the animals. There we are. That's a little bit of reminiscing for you. Hope you enjoyed the podcast episode. Look out for the next one. There'll be another one next Sunday. Thanks for listening. As always, take care. Bye-bye.